Good to see Brother Dennis back. Doing better, brother? Amen. It's good to see Brother Dennis in the house of God. Missed him. Been praying for him. Amen. Heavenly Father, we ask you, Lord, for your help this morning. Father, we can't do anything without you. Lord, if you don't help me, Lord, I can't be a help to anybody. If you don't speak to hearts, Lord, it'll not be effective. Lord, we ask you, please, Lord, just meet with us for this little time. Lord, we ask you, Lord, as we look at the Word of God, Lord, that you'd feed us. Lord, God, that you'd encourage us, that you'd help us. Lord, I pray the need of every heart be met, and we'll certainly thank you and give you all praise and honor for what you do for us. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Amen. Psalm 145. Psalm 145. I want to look just a little bit this morning on what the Bible has to say about endurance. The word endurance. We'll start in Psalm 145. Everybody find their place. Verse 10 says, "All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom, and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts, and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations." And boy, I'm certainly thankful for that. God said here that his kingdom's an everlasting kingdom. It's never going to end. Amen. It's forever. It's an eternal kingdom. Amen. Nothing's going to stop it. One day the Lord's going to come, and he's going to sit down on the throne of David, and he's going to establish the kingdom literally here on this earth, and all these things that grieve us and trouble us, really comes from the root problem of sin. The Lord's going to take care of it. And everything, Brother Todd, everything's going to be made right and it's going to be restored. Yes. Just as it was before the fall. I'm glad it's an everlasting kingdom. But it says, "In his dominion endureth." Amen. Throughout all generations. I'm glad to know that dominion means just simply sovereign, supreme, in authority. The power of governing or controlling. And that's what it is. Amen. It's dominion. God's in control, Brother Chris. He's on the throne. Amen. He's not co-leader with somebody. There ain't no vice God like there's a vice president. It's him. Him and him alone. He's in charge. I know we look around at things that goes on in this world sometimes, and certainly the lost world must think it. Well, where's God at? Don't you worry. He's on the throne. Amen. He's in control. There's some things, for reasons I don't understand fully, that he does allow to go on. But you can mark it down, Brother James. One day he's going to make it right. Nobody's going to get by. They might be getting by now, it seems like, but they're not. And they're certainly not going to get by the end. He is in control, amen. But that word endureth, amen. It says, amen, that his dominion endures. That means it just keeps going on. Right. Amen. It has no end. And now, I like to look at words. I like to look at words and think about what they mean. And sometimes I think we look at this word endurance or endure this morning. And I sort of felt like a good way to really get you to understand in depth what that word really means and what it don't mean is to compare it to something else that seems or sounds like it'd be about the same thing. And I thought about the word stamina. Amen. The word stamina. And it's interesting, you will not find the word stamina nowhere in the Bible. Nowhere. You won't find that word. I looked in the Webster's 1828 dictionary, and the word stamina was not in there. I did find it in the 1913 Webster's dictionary. Stamina is a fairly recent word. And if you'll look it up in the 1913 Webster's, the definition it gave at that time the structure or the foundation of something, like a skeleton. The skeleton holds up and maintains the body. Amen. That was the original definition, according to Webster's 1913, for stamina. Now, a more modern definition of that would be the power or ability to withstand fatigue or disease, or while being deprived of food and water, etc., and to be able to continue working.
Yes.
Amen? That is a modern definition of the word stamina. And stamina is not the same thing as endurance. And I'm going to show that to you here in a minute. Stamina is talking about this here, Chris. That is the natural strength or ability of the body. Amen? That's flesh. Flesh has a limit. Flesh can only take you so far. Flesh is temporal. Amen? Once you get so tired or so weak, or if you get a certain injury, it will completely stop you and shut you down and keep you from being able to continue with your task. Amen? So, God knew what He was doing when He used the word endurance throughout the Bible, because it don't mean the same thing as stamina. Amen? Now, a definition for the word endure is to remain firm, as under trial or suffering, to suffer patiently without yielding, to bear up under adversity, to hold out, and to keep going. Amen? Now, that's stamina, Brother Todd. That's flesh. It has a limit to it. Now, that endurance, though, that's inward.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with the body or the flesh. That's inward.
Yeah.
That's inward. Now, me and Brother Hyatt, both we played sports and all that. You hear in the sports world, just to use a carnal explanation, a lot of people talk about somebody who, in the fourth quarter of that football game, when everybody's getting tired, but that one player seems to come up with that big play, or he seems to find that strength or that little burst of energy nobody else has got, they'll say it's because he's strong-minded, or he has intestinal fortitude.
Yeah.
That's inward, but that's still natural. What this word endurance here we're going to look at today is talking about is that thing inward in us is God.
Yeah.
Amen. That is something that's within us that we can draw upon like a well of water in those times where when the flesh goes as far as it can go, Brother Chris. Amen. It can't go no further. That God influence, that God, that strength, that help of God will kick in from inwardly, amen, and pick up and keep carrying us forward.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. Now, the best example I can think of this as far as another human being, and we're not going to go over and look, but in 2 Timothy, Paul was talking about he fought the good fight. He finished his course and he kept the faith.
Yeah.
Amen. He was able to endure.
Yeah.
Now, we know Paul faced things that none of us has ever faced. Persecution, we don't know nothing about. Hardships, we don't know nothing about. Amen. Brother Murray, when Paul went to travel and go preach somewhere, he didn't have a nice air-conditioned Cadillac or Ford or something to ride in. Amen. He hoofed it. He walked. He endured. Paul had to go through things to serve and to perform or to do the work of the ministry, Brother James. He had to go through things and endure things that we know nothing about in this day and time. Amen. Paul endured. He endured hatred. Amen. He endured. You say, and it wasn't stamina, it was enduring. It was because of God in him, Brother Todd. It was that something he had in him, the Holy Ghost, that help from on high that kept Paul going, amen. When he got rough, he said, I fought the good fight, amen. Amen. It was a fight. Every time Paul looked over his shoulder, somebody's wanting to kill him. Somebody's wanting to shut him up. Amen. But Paul kept right on. By the help of God, he endured. Amen. I'm sure times Paul's stamina gave out. He's a man just like us. I'm sure he got hungry. He had to sit down and eat. Amen. He got tired. He had to sit down and rest. Amen. But we're talking about endurance. Endurance. How are we going to make it in this day and time? How are we going to keep going on, Brother Chris? How are we going to face the persecutions that we know and believe is getting ready to come upon us, probably before we get out of here? Endurance. Inward. What God gives us. Amen. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can't do it, the energy and strength of the flesh. But, buddy, God can touch a man. God can touch a godly woman. And He can give you everything you stand in need of to stand under the trials and the fire and stand for Him without compromise, amen, and live for God. You have access to that as a child of God to be able to endure. Amen. I want you to see that and understand before I read these verses what we're talking about enduring. That's everlasting. That's without end. It's not controlled or hindered by the natural. Amen. It's spiritual. It's eternal. Amen. It's controlled and supplied by God Almighty, who is the source. Amen. But we read here in Psalm 145, and you don't have to turn to these. I've got a good many verses here. But I'm going to tell you where to add if you want to jot it down. And it gives us a whole list of things concerning God about enduring. Amen. In Psalms 33:11, it says, "The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of His heart to all generations." Amen. The counsel of the Lord endures. It's forever. It lasts. You say, what's the counsel of the Lord? This book. Whatever His will is. Whatever, according to this book, He speaks to your heart for your life, according to what He wants out of you. Amen. Counsel. If you sit down and counsel somebody, what would you be doing, Brother James? You'd be talking to them about their life. You'd be talking about what they're doing, what they're not doing, how to correct the problems. Amen. And how to do even better on the things they're doing well. Give them counsel. Give them guidance. That's what it's talking about. Counsel of the Lord standeth forever. Amen. God's will is going to be done. Amen. If you would look at Psalm 37:18, it says, "The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever." That's talking about us. The saved, the born-again crowd, the upright. We have an inheritance, people. And it's going to endure. Amen. Nothing's going to stop us from getting it one day, and nothing's ever going to stop us from enjoying it once we're there. It's going to endure. Amen. Why? Because it's God. He supplies it. He's made it. He's in control of it. Amen. You've got an inheritance, child of God. Is that right? You've got eternal life. You've got it right now. We talk about that glad day we go to heaven. That is going to be a glad day. But you've got eternal life right now.
Amen.
You're a part of the kingdom right now. You can be enjoying certain benefits and blessings of God right now. There's some things God's already given us as a child of God, and we ain't got to wait for nothing on it. All you got to do is walk in it by faith. Amen?
Yes.
God will meet the need.
Yes.
Amen? Psalm 52, verse 1. "Why boastest thou thyself in mischief? O mighty man, the goodness of God endureth continually." Amen. God's goodness endures. It's forever. Hey, look at what that's saying. Boasting in yourself and in mischief. Don't that sound like us sometimes? Getting all propped up in our pride. Amen. Getting involved in foolishness we shouldn't get involved in. But God's still good to us. God could reach down and squash us and take us off into eternity. But He doesn't. He doesn't. The goodness of God. How good's God been to you? You're your own judge. Examine your own selves. You know your own heart better than anybody but God. You know who you are. You know the thoughts that's already went through your mind since you crawled out of bed this morning. Were they pure and perfect, holy and righteous? But yet God still let that automobile get here this morning so you could come and be in the house of God and enjoy His good presence and blessings. Amen. That's the goodness of God. He's forgiving. Amen. Psalm 100, verse 5, "For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth all generations." Right here is His truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. It endures forever. It's never going to have an end. Never. Amen. It's sure. Can I tell you that? Enduring is sure. Why? Because it's in the hand of God. Talk about this spiritual enduring. Amen?
Yes.
It's sure. Why? Because God's hand is on it, Brother Todd. He's in control of it. Psalm 104, verse 31, it says, "The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in His works." Amen? All we have to do is look around us, Miss Camille, at this world. Even though it's marred by sin, Brother Todd, it's still magnificent. And to just think God made all this. And it's marred by sin. One day He's going to restore it back to perfection. Think about how great that is. I was sitting over where I lived the other day, sitting outside in the rocking chair and just looking around, and I sort of had that thought come to my heart. And I just thought, God, this is just so wonderful. I can't even begin to figure out how all this works. Much less make it and control it and keep it in balance. And it's marred. It's not even in its perfect condition, Brother James. Think how wonderful it's going to be when the Lord comes back and restores everything. And there's no sin. Think about how wonderful that's going to be. If it's this good now, amen, well, you ought to rejoice over that. As good as we've got it now as a child of God, but this ain't a drop in the bucket, Brother Todd. It's not a drop in the bucket.
Right.
Amen. And we're to glorify God for it. His glory endures forever. Amen. It's His. It belongs to Him. Most of y'all know me pretty good, but the ones that knows me the best knows if you really want to get my flesh riled up, start bragging on man or yourself and when God ought to be getting the glory. I get pretty grieved pretty fast over that. He's the only one that deserves any glory, any credit, any praise. Now, I said this recently here. I think I was testifying. I don't remember. It's right to give honor where honor's due. It's right to thank people and respect them when they do good toward you. That's right to do. That's not what I'm talking about. But when you give somebody the credit for the power to do what they do, that it's in and of themselves, when you start thinking that, and it's not because of God enabling them, you're robbing God of His glory. And His glory endures forever. Psalm 111, first few verses, "Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His works is honorable and glorious." Now listen to this. "And His righteousness endureth forever." Amen. God's righteous. What does that mean? It means He's right. When? All the time. All the time. Ain't never a time God ain't right. Has He always been right? Always has been. Always has been. God has no beginning, has no end. Is He always right? Yes, sir. You think about that. He's right. He's righteous. He is righteous. God never does wrong. God never thinks wrong. Never. Ever. Never has and never will. He's the same. There's no shadow of turning in Him, Brother James. He's the same yesterday and day forever. He's righteous yesterday. He's righteous today. He's going to be righteous tomorrow. He's going to be righteous a million years from now. It endures. Endures forever. You say, what does that speak to your heart, Brother Danny? Amen. I know I can count on Him. He's always going to be righteous. Anytime I go to Him in prayer, anytime I have a need, anytime I come to worship, amen, He's going to be righteous. What does that mean? He's going to do right by me. Always. He's always going to do right by me. I'll never have to worry about God stabbing me in the back. People stab you in the back. I'll never have to worry about God forsaking me. He's already promised. He will not forsake me or leave me, Brother James. That's a promise. God can't lie. I'm never going to have to worry about that. Never. Never crossed my mind. Never going to have to worry about God cheating me. I'm going to cheat God sometime. I'm guilty. He ain't. Amen. He'll be there. Brother James, one of these old days, I'm gonna be laying there getting ready to draw my last breath.
Yeah.
And cross over. Guess what? He's going to be right there to take my
Amen.
Hand.
That's right.
Ain't that a blessing?
Yes.
He'll never leave me. Never. I ain't going to have to take not one step of that journey alone.
Right.
One of them little ladies comes to my prayer meeting over where I live on Monday night. I was sitting here talking to her the other day. And she told me this. She asked me to pray for her. She said, I'm just sort of lonely. She's lost a couple family members here lately, and them's about the only two to ever come to see her or call her or anything. She said, I'm lonely. And I told her, I said, I understand that. I said, but let me give you this, sister. Maybe this will encourage you if you get a hold of this. I'm lonely sometimes too, but I ain't never alone. I told her, I said, I'd go down there in my apartment, I could shut the door, and I could stay in there 3 days, not speak to a soul, not answer the phone, or nothing else. I'd never be alone. Because He's with me. He's with me. Sure. Next time you have a moment like that, and the devil wants to discourage you, making you feel lonely and left out, you think about that. He's there. You ain't alone. You might be lonely because you're missing human fellowship with somebody, but you're not alone. You got Him, fellowship with Him better than fellowship with anybody else anyway. No offense to none of y'all. I'd rather fellowship with Him than any of y'all, and I love you. I enjoy fellowship with y'all. But He's it. He's just it. He's the best.
Amen.
Is that right? I don't offend nobody I said that, does it?
No.
It's just the truth. Psalm 111:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. Hey, His praise endureth forever.
Amen.
His praise. Amen. He's worthy to be praised. Amen. Is that right? He's worthy of our worship. He's worthy of us to bow. Is that right?
Amen.
I've heard it said before, and I'll go ahead and repeat it. You'll bow here, you'll bow later. You ever seen that old commercial about them transmissions? Say, you can pay me now, you can pay me later. Well, that's sort of the way it is with God. Amen? You can give what God deserves now, or He's going to get it later. Sooner or later, every knee will bow, and every tongue shall confess that He's Lord.
Yeah.
That's right. You don't like it now, you say, well, He ain't my Lord.
Yeah.
He ain't my boss. That's what a sinner says. Yeah, He is. You just don't know it. Amen. You may have done a lot of fishing. I've never done a lot of fishing. I ain't been fishing since I was a kid. But best I understand it, you men does a lot of it. You tell me if I'm wrong. You throw that out there, buddy. When that fish first bites, he'll run. You'll let him go a little ways first, won't you? Sort of let him tire himself out. Then what? You ain't going nowhere. That's the way God is. Go ahead and bite. He'll let you run a little ways. But sooner or later, He's going to reel you in. He's either going to reel you in and save you, or He's going to reel you in at the judgment seat one day and judge you as a sinner and cast you in the lake of fire. But God's going to get you one way or the other. One day, you're going to have to deal with Him one way or the other. Every human being on the face of earth is going to have to come face to face with God Almighty and deal with Him one way or the other. One way or another. You say, well, buddy, I ain't interested in that getting saved. I don't want to live that life. I want to do what I want to do. Help yourself. You're going to die one day and you're going to face him.
Yeah.
You're going to deal with him sooner or later. Is that right?
Yes.
Hey, man. His praise. He's worthy to be praised. And let me say this. I know a lot of people don't like this. I don't think nobody in this church would say they don't like it. God will get just as much glory out of judging those sinners and throwing them in the lake of fire as he will for saving sinners. He'll be glorified for being a righteous and a just God and doing what's right. He'll get just as much glory for that as he will for saving a sinner or for healing a cripple. Why? That's the works of God. He always does right. We've already talked about that. Ain't that right, Brother Todd? And he's worthy of glory no matter what he does because he never does wrong. That's right. Psalm 118:29. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. What would we do if it wasn't for the mercy of God? The only reason you're saved this morning is because God had mercy on you. The only reason I'm saved this morning is because God had mercy on me. It wasn't because I was a good old boy and I deserved anything. I deserved hell. But God looked down on me in mercy.
Yes.
Mercy. You know where mercy comes from? Love. You know why we'll stomp on a bug? We ain't got no love for it. So he don't get no mercy. Think about that. Well, you see that fly in the window. You ladies, I can see you them flies watching. He ain't getting no mercy. Why? You don't love him. You wouldn't do that to your kid, though, would you? Get something, smash him, kill him. Mercy comes from love. Hey, I know what I was. You know what you was. That's between you and God. I'm just speaking to myself. I know what I was. That's great mercy. You know what that tells me, Brother James? That's some great love. That's some great love. I've done things in my life only me and God knows about. I wouldn't have forgave me. I'm just being honest with you. I wouldn't have forgave myself if it had been me. Thank God he did me. Is that right? Psalm 119, verse 89, 90 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth and it abideth." Hey, his word and his faithfulness. And they go together. Amen. It endures forever. Amen. Ain't that good to know? Ain't that good to know when you read this book? He's faithful. You know he's telling you the truth. Ain't that good? Ain't that good to know you can rest on his promises and you can count on him? How do you know? Because he said so. Is that right? If somebody walked in that back door this morning, I didn't know, and they looked at me and said, "I'm getting ready to give you $1 million. And they'd write a check and hand it to me. I guarantee you, between now and tomorrow, before I got to the bank, I'd be thinking the whole time, I guarantee you, I'll get down here and I'm going to find out this check ain't no good. Why? I don't know them. I don't know if I can trust them or not. Was that right, wouldn't you? You'd doubt too, wouldn't you? It wouldn't make no sense. They don't know me. I don't know them. Why would they walk in here and write me a check for $1 million? But I can count on God because of his faithfulness. We know he's faithful. Why? Because there is nothing that's ever happened in the history of this planet or anything we read in this book that tells us otherwise. You can't find one place where you can say God wasn't faithful. Never. That's a pretty good record. Boy, if all of us had that good work record, boy, we'd be in good shape, wouldn't we? Amen. Psalm 119, 159, 160. "Consider how I love thy precepts. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." We've already talked about that. You say, "Will God judge sin?" Absolutely. Is he right to do it? Sure he is. Because sin's wrong. Is that right, Brother Todd? Brother Todd, your boy's done wrong. You dealt with him, didn't you? Because you love him. And you want him to do better. You want him to learn right. Is that right? And you were right in doing so. Same way God does us. He won't let a child of God go astray. He won't let... Hey, if you can live in sin day after day after day and enjoy it, and God not deal with you, you're not His. And I've said it before, other preachers have said it. You say, well, what about all these people running all over the world? They don't do right, they don't believe in God, but it seems like they prosper, they're billionaires and all this other stuff. God don't deal with them. He's going to. Why don't He deal with them right now? They ain't His. He's His, He'd deal with them. If you can do wrong, God don't deal with you, you ain't His. I ain't going to say you can't fall. I could fall before the sun goes down in some terrible sin. I'm still flesh. But if I did, you mark her down, God take me down to spiritual woodshed, and it wouldn't be pleasant. Why? Because He loves me. His righteous judgments endures forever. That's, hey, Brother James, that's why when them sinners stand there one day at the white throne judgment and they get cast off in the lake of fire, forever, because His righteous judgments endure forever. You say, why'd they get it? Because they deserve it. Is that right? And I'll close with this. One of the greatest examples of endurance, or the greatest I can find in the Word of God. Look at Hebrews 12, starting with verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now listen, for consider Him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. There's never been anybody that's ever endured like Christ. Ain't a one of us ever faced what He faced on that cross. It's not even close. Why'd He do it? Why'd He endure? Remember how I started? There's a difference between stamina and endurance. It's two different words and they don't mean the same thing. He endured. He endured, Brother James. He endured. His stamina, according to the flesh, if He'd have been just a normal man, I'm going to say this, I don't know, but I'll just dare to guess, a normal man that would have experienced what He experienced before they even got Him to the cross, probably wouldn't have lived and even been hung up there. He'd already been dead, Brother Keith, just from the scourging. Many didn't. From what I read, if it's accurate history, you know, you never know. But what I read in history, many never made it past the scourging. Many never made it past the trail carrying the cross up there. They fell dead in the road from the loss of blood. But buddy, Jesus just marched right on, Brother Keith. Why? Because He was something and is something and had something. It wasn't of the natural. It endured. That's supernatural. That's spiritual. He was God in the flesh. Amen. I'm going to say something pretty strong right here. Before you shoot me, I want you to just think about it. Brother Dennis, them people did not kill my Savior. They crucified Him. That means they hung Him on that cross to die. But they didn't kill Him because He had the power of life in His own hand. He willingly laid down His own life for us. And I really believe this, and you can call me crazy if you want to. I don't care what they'd have done to Him. He was not going to die and breathed that last breath till the work was done and it was finished, and he committed his spirit unto the Father and said, it's done. And until that moment, Brother Dennis, there wasn't a man on this earth could have took his life. They did not kill him. He willingly laid down his life. Because he loved you that much. He took that last breath, Brother Murray, before the work is finished. We have no grounds of salvation. 3 days later, too, he don't come up out of that tomb, Brother Dennis. Am I right? We wouldn't be justified. Is that what Scripture said, Brother Keith? He endured. He endured. Why? Because he loves us that much. He endured. You think about this. This ain't got nothing to do with what I'm teaching, but I want to share this. I've been spending some time over about the last year trying to study, not every day, but just here and there, off and on those feast days of the Lord over in Israel, and how they're prophetic. I don't know if you understand that, but they're prophetic. Those first four spoke of His first coming. The last three speaks of His second coming, which is yet to happen. But that first one was Passover. And we know the account in Exodus. Amen? How they had to kill those lambs. And then they put that blood on the doorposts, on the sides and above. Is that right, Brother Dennis? That's what they had to do. Why? So when the death angel came through that night, he'd pass over them. Why? Because they were under the blood. Let me give you this. I thought about this week. I believe God gave me this, Brother Todd. They were in their house. Is that right? Had the blood there. Is that right? What's this we're living in? A house. It's a tabernacle. It's the temple of the Holy Ghost. And the blood's over you just like it was in the Israelites' house. So when that death angel comes and God comes to judge, buddy, you're under the blood. That judgment can't touch you. Can't touch you. And when he was hanging on that cross, Sister Linda, on the day of preparation, do you realize, I'm sure most of us in here probably already knows this, but I want to remind you if you don't. When he was hanging on that cross and God put the light out and it went dark all over Israel, do you realize that that was the day of preparation, and at the very hour he was hanging on that cross, shedding his blood, Brother Keith, dying for us as God's Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world, all over the nation of Israel, they were slaughtering the Passover lambs. Passover was prophetic of His first coming. You think about that. And God, hey, I believe God, before this world was ever created, Brother Keith, already had that specific day set aside, an appointed day for Him to die on that cross. Brother Todd, those feasts He gave to Israel, if they had understanding, Jesus said, if a man have ear, let him hear. Is that right? Is that what Jesus said? He said, if you have ear, hear. Hey, but He told a lot of them they didn't understand. But you look back at that, we know the Old Testament was prophetic. It was speaking of what was to come. Them Jews should have knew. They should have knew. They had no excuse. God told them way back yonder when He gave them the feast what He was going to do.
Yeah.
Concerning His Son. Is that right? I guess it does have a little something to do with what we've been talking about. Because His truth endures forever. Is that right? Pray God give you the strength to endure. Amen. I don't know what all we're going to face. We've all speculated about that. I don't know what we're going to face in this country one day. Keep standing for God. But if we have to face something, we're going to have to endure. Is that right? You won't do it in your own strength. You'll only do it because of Him who's in you. Is that right? Amen. So, hey, pray that God help you endure. He's already set the example. I read you all kind of verses, and I could go all through the Bible and read about the attributes and the works of God enduring. He's our example. We can walk in that. We can walk in that because we have Him. Amen. Is that right? Amen. Brother Keith, would you pray for us?